This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Documentary photographer Allison Wright has seen a lot. She has trekked through Africa to South America and around Asia, 150 countries in all. And she has one goal, documenting the human condition one photograph at a time. She has a new book out called Human Tribe, and it's a selection from thousands of photos she's taken, all showing our shared humanity. Her work's also being shown at the Pace Academy Fine Arts Center here in Atlanta through the end of the week. And Allison Wright joins me now. Hi there.
Hey, Celeste. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, as you look at all these photos, which are gorgeous, you could say they're demonstrating how different humans are. I mean, these are incredibly different faces, different features, different outfits, different settings. It could be a display of how different human beings are, right?
Yeah, but the point of this book really is showing our diversity, celebrating our diversity, but really our visual human tapestry. And my greatest takeaway after being 150 countries is how different we might look, but really how much we are the same the world over. We all want to love and be loved. We all want a little money in our pocket enough to get by. We all want safety and health for ourselves, our friends, our family, education for our children. That's what I keep finding is the commonality among us. And it's really not that complicated. We tend to make it more complicated than it needs to be, but I just find this common thread through humanity that just never ceases to surprise me.
How did you choose what to show in these photographs? Some of them are very close up on the face. Mm-hmm. Some of them are full body. Some of them are sort of taken from a distance. How did you make that choice?
So, I mean, this is not, you know, all how I always work. I photograph stories. I work with, you know, National Geographic. I've done other books. I work with magazine stories. But I curated these, this book, Human Tribe, in a very triangular viewpoint where I'm looking at them and they're looking back at you, the viewer. Because these are just particular portraits that I've pulled out that I wanted to show just that, that sort of, you know, they're looking at you directly just as they were looking at me at the time. Because the interesting thing is I don't really speak their languages. So there's something really beautiful about trying to connect and verbalize through when you can't speak. And it's really just through this heartfelt connection. And that, for me, is something that I'm trying to portray through the imagery.
Did they choose what is in the portrait? Some of them are holding things. Some of them are sitting in specific places. One is a woman in a burqa holding a photograph. Did they choose?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really funny because I do ask people, you know, sometimes I want to have them hold something or include something that's important to them. And, you know, once I asked this Tibetan man, I said, oh, I want to take a picture with your wife. And he said, my wife? He said, I want to be photographed with my pig. So I no longer make assumptions about what is important to somebody. So I do let them choose.
So, I mean, you must have taken thousands, if not tens of thousands of photos, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
How did you go about winnowing them down? Because there's maybe 160 portraits in this book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible project.
Very tough. And it just, you know, it to me, when I was laying it out, it struck me that it was like a large dinner party. Who could be paired with who could be next to who in the book, who just didn't fit in with whomever. And, you know, so I laid it out in sort of more of a visual layout with, you know, color and that, because it's not segmented by area. And, you know, I wasn't also looking to include the whole world. You know, I just really wanted to show some of the people that really struck me and some of my favorite portraits over the years. Some of those portraits are actually go way back, believe it or not. And that's what I love, is sort of the timelessness of the photos. I think there's a picture in there that's even maybe 30 years old, shot on film. Some of those are shot on film. And so they're an accumulation of years of some of my favorite portraits.
So what did you take away? I mean, you went through, I mean, we're talking about years of work, tens of thousands of photographs. And when you finally had this collection in book form, that mm-hmm. must have been sort of a really different experience from both taking the photographs and then sort of seeing all of them.
Yes. It's I don't know. I feel like it's a book of my friends. I mean, I can tell you something about each of those people. And some of them I, you know, spent more time with. Some of them I literally just met in the street. But the greatest takeaway, too, is just I think it's important to let someone know why you want to photograph them. And that's, you know, with these particular photos, because they are portraits that I was making, sometimes I'm going up to these wild warriors in Africa because I want to move them to a better background or better light. So it's an interesting dance of vulnerability. I'm trusting them, they're trusting me. And then, you know, I'm actually being able to make a picture that I want that has, you know, the best light or the best background. And I just kind of love that. But it's also important to let someone know what you find interesting about them, like the woman from Tibet with the long amber coral headdress of stones. And, you know, because think about it. I wouldn't want someone just running up to me, taking a photo and running away. But if you go up to someone and you say, oh, I really love that headdress, you know, tell me about this. And, you know, then it's like a connection. And, you know, I think everybody wants to be made to feel special at the end of the day.
So is that how, I mean, I have to imagine sometimes it's difficult to convince people to let you take their portrait. Do you do it with a compliment?
Yeah, you know, and really, people very rarely say no. You know, there's a picture of a little 9-year-old girl I photographed in Cuba that I followed home from school because she was so beautiful. Her hair was in a bun. She's in her school uniform. I ran after her, and she, of course, was terrified. And I actually had the nerve to knock on her door and ask her grandmother if I could take a picture. And it's you know, her 9-year-old Holly. Her grandmother said, oh, of course. And she took her hair out of the bun, and she let her, you know, hair run down. And it's just, you know, I love that connection. You know, it's not, again, you know, how I do a lot of post-disaster conflict work. I do a lot of stories. I'm in, really in the thick of chaos and mayhem. But it's just those moments of stillness for me, of really capturing somebody, you know, really when they're just aware, you know, and a dance of vulnerability. It's beautiful to me.
That is documentary photographer Allison Wright, often works with National Geographic. Her new book is a collection of more than 160 portraits. It's called The Human Tribe, and her work's being shown at the Pace Academy Fine Arts Center here in Atlanta. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate your time. Thanks.